I would like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Most people are at least vaguely familiar with the story of David and Goliath. David killing the giant Goliath and delivering his people, the children of Israel, from their enemy. And many people like to use this story to inspire or to motivate, as one preacher said, the little guy, the person facing insurmountable difficulties or problems. You can win, or you can have success, if you are courageous and do your best. Remember David and Goliath. It is often used in sport. David slays Goliath when the small team defeats the strong team or the powerful team, or when some practically unknown achieves a great victory over a prominent personality in some sporting event. David, the little guy, was victorious against all the odds stacked against him. He achieved the unthinkable. He did the impossible. And the mighty giant Goliath fell before him. It's a wonderful story. But did you know that every story in the Bible gives an illustration of the gospel? Well, this story gives to us an illustration of the gospel. And there is a certain aspect of the gospel that is revealed here in the story of David and Goliath. Now, according to Scripture, God deals with two men. He deals with Adam, and then he deals with Christ. You are either in Adam, or you are in Christ. God will deal with you as you are in Adam, guilty and condemned, or he will deal with you in Christ as you are pardoned and justified in the sight of God. Now, in the story before us, we discover that if David wins the battle, all Israel wins. If Goliath wins the battle, then all Israel loses. There are only two men in this story. There are only two men out there on the battlefield. The outcome of the meeting will determine who the victor is. Now, both of these men are representative men. David was not only one of the greatest ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was one of the greatest personal types of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, as I said earlier in the Bible class, there are no perfect types of Christ in the Bible. But David, in many of his characteristics and features, points us to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was holy, harmless, and separate from sinners. Goliath, on the other hand, represents Satan and the forces and the powers of darkness. So please keep these thoughts in mind as we look at the portion before us today, as we come to preach the gospel from the Valley of Elah. I have three simple things that I want to highlight and use from the story before us to preach the gospel to you this morning. Using David as a type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great deliverer of his people. First of all, you will notice that David was sent to the battlefield. David was sent to the battlefield. If you look there at chapter 17 and verse 17, notice what it says. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. So David was sent by his father on a mission of mercy to seek the welfare of his brethren. He was sent from Bethlehem, verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was the place of his birth. And that was the place where he was sent forth on this mercy mission. How like Christ, who was sent forth by his heavenly father on a mission to save the fallen sons of Adam's fallen race. And he too began his mission at Bethlehem. And he was sent to Bethlehem to be born of a virgin. And that was the first stage of his road to the cross of Calvary on his mercy mission to redeem fallen sinners from the condemnation of the broken law of God. So David is sent by the Father on this mercy mission to seek the well-being of his brethren. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father on a mercy mission to seek to deliver sinners from the condemnation of sin. And in verse 20, we're told that David rose up early in the morning. In other words, he willingly obeyed his father and was sent out to accomplish his father's will. And this points again to Christ, who willingly surrendered himself in obedience to the Father, to come into a sin-cursed world, to become a man, to live among men as a man, and at the appointed time to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin, to go ultimately to the battlefield, to face the greater Goliath, and to triumph over him, to accomplish salvation on behalf of his people. Now, David in the Bible is a wonderful type and picture of Jesus Christ. The first thing that I notice about David is that he was a beloved son. His name actually means beloved. And when he was born, his parents gave to him this wonderful name, Beloved. And the Lord Jesus Christ is God's only beloved son. And the very first time that David is introduced into the story is in chapter 16, when Samuel was sent to anoint one of Jesse's boys to become the next king of Israel to replace Saul, who had been rejected by God. And Jesse had 8 sons, and he paraded 7 of them before Samuel. Samuel was there to select this man to become the next king. But there was one son who wasn't there when Samuel came. So the very first reference that we have to David in the Bible, it is in the context of being a beloved son in his relationship to the Father. And as the beloved son, he was the chosen one. As I said just a moment ago, Jesse had 8 sons, and David was the youngest in the family. He was therefore the 8th. And 8 in the Bible is the number of a new beginning. This would be the beginning of a new era in Israel's history. Because this young man, this teenager, will become the greatest king that Israel ever had. And it is through Christ, God's well-beloved son, and the great King of kings and Lord of lords, that the sinner gets a new beginning. He makes all things new by his power through his work on the cross. So in this way, David points us to Christ, who was the beloved son of the Father. And as the beloved son, he was the anointed one. For when David arrived into his home, when Samuel was there with the rest of his brethren, the Lord said to Samuel, "This is the one I want you to anoint." So David was anointed to be the king of Israel long before he actually became the king of Israel. But in the mind of God, he was the one anointed and set apart for this mission to minister to the needs of others. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he stood there in the River Jordan at the time of his baptism, he came to be baptized of John, to identify with the people he came to save. Not that he needed to be baptized. But as he stood there, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. He was anointed as he began his earthly ministry. And his earthly ministry was intended to bring blessing to millions and millions of precious souls. So as he began his public ministry, he too was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. So David left the Father's house, anointed by the Spirit to minister to the needs of others. And Christ came into a world lying in sin. It was a battlefield he came to. The Father sent David to a battlefield to show compassion and to take care of the welfare of his brothers. When David was sent, he was laden with good things to take to his brothers and to the king. And we're told in the Word of God about the things that he brought. And he was sent with bread and wine and a kid. Those things are deeply significant. Bread and wine. These are the two things that we've had before us on the communion table today. These two things were the things that Jesus used as emblems of his work for sinners on the cross. The bread and the wine, the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. Matthew chapter 26. So here we see this beloved son. He's sent by the Father on a mercy mission. He's sent into a battlefield. And he's sent with provisions of grace for his brethren and for the king. And Christ came to offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So David was a beloved son. But then David was also a brave shepherd. Six times in the chapter before us, or in the two chapters before us, 16 and 17, he is associated or identified with the sheep. And you can find those references for yourself. He's caring for the sheep, he's feeding the sheep, he's watching the sheep, he's protecting the sheep. David was a good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he traveled to meet his brothers, he left the sheep with a keeper. And when Christ finished the work that the Father gave him to do, he ascended to glory and he left his sheep in the care of the Holy Spirit. He will not leave his people orphans. He will not leave his people comfortless. And so when he returned to glory, he sent the Holy Spirit as his love gift to the church. And the Holy Spirit indwells his people. The Holy Spirit takes care of Christ's sheep in his absence. While he is interceding for them in glory, the Holy Spirit is indwelling them on earth, leading them and guiding them. And you know the story that we've read there about when the lion and the bear came and picked out one of the lambs from the fold. What David did, he risked his life to protect the lamb. He fought the bear and he fought the lion. But when the good shepherd came from heaven above, he actually laid down his life to save his sheep from the powers of darkness. But in David, in this figure, we have a pointer to Christ who gave his life as a ransom for sin on the cross. So David is sent to the battlefield. He was sent on a mission. Christ was sent on a mission. And thank God when he came as a beloved son, and he came as a brave shepherd to save his people from their sins. But then secondly, David was suited for the battlefield. The Philistine army moved eastward from their stronghold of Gath, and they crossed the Israelite frontier, where they were confronted by the assembled might of Israel's armies in the valley of Elah. The battle lines were drawn, and the armies watched each other warily from their positions across the valley. And then from the ranks of the Philistine armies comes a champion. What a man he was. He's introduced in verse 4, and there went out a champion named Goliath. And in verses 4 through 7 we have his description, and what a formidable foe he was. Standing probably almost 10 feet tall. Some believe that he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. Matthew Henry believes that he was 11 foot 4 inches tall. But I think we will just go for around 10 feet tall. He wore a helmet of brass. He wore a coat of armor, a coat of mail, weighing 5,000 shekels of brass, 125 to 150 pounds. He had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff that he carried was like a weaver's beam. Some people believe that it was about 25 feet long. And a spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, maybe 15 to 25 pounds. What a man, what a formidable foe stood there confronting Saul and the armies of Israel, and there wasn't one brave enough or fit enough in the armies of Israel to take a stand against him. We have the design of Goliath in verses 8 and 9. He challenged the Israelites to send their champion and to settle the matter in a single representative combat. Don't send all of your army. Why don't you just pick one man and send one man out? Let him fight with me, and the winner takes all. He challenged the Israelites to send their champion. The reason why the men of Israel feared so much was that Goliath struck terror into their hearts. Saul himself was a big man, towering head and shoulders above other men. Jonathan was there. He had showed great courage some time before this, when he fought with his armor bearer against the enemies of the people of God. They were all fearful, all afraid. Everyone was afraid. A stalemate ensued. And in verse 12, we are introduced to David. David arrives in the scene. He alone was fitted for this task of fighting and conquering the enemy. And when we are introduced to David, He's described as being ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. Chapter 16, verse 12, Christ is here. David was a special son. Christ is a special son. Twice we're told that David was a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, then again in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22. And the word ruddy means red, earthy, or Adam. That's interesting. And that teaches us, even in this description, that Christ was a man. He was a real man. He was the God-man. And David had a beautiful countenance. In the book of Song of Solomon, we read these words, He is altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. Christ is the God-man. Christ is altogether lovely. And then David was goodly to look at. Charles Spurgeon, on that snowy morning, looked to Christ. Isaiah 45, verse 22, look unto me. Christ is goodly to look at. Have you looked to him by faith? Have you looked to him for salvation? And then in chapter 16, verses 14 through 23, we also learn that he was cunning in playing. In other words, he was a skilled physician who played for Saul when an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul. The Lord had forsaken Saul. He was a miserable man. And when this evil spirit entered into him, he needed someone to come to calm him. And they looked out for him, a good musician. And the best they could get was David, and he was good at this job. So when Saul went into one of these phases, when he fell into a bout of depression, then David arrived in the scene and he played soothing music. And as he played for Saul, the Bible says Saul was refreshed. Christ is here again because Christ can speak and minister to troubled hearts. Just the way David arrived and played to Saul when he was troubled and distraught and distressed. Christ alone can bring refreshment to troubled hearts and troubled souls. He's the Prince of Peace, and he knows the dark places we go to in our souls at times. And he alone knows how to remedy the situation because he is the answer. So when this man fell into this bout of depression, when he was sad, David arrived in the scene and played his music. And the soul listened to that soothing music. He was refreshed. Are you cast down and weary today? May the Lord play that soothing music to you. May he sing to you his holy word to bring comfort to your hearts and comfort to your souls. Thank God Christ is here in the story of David. Christ is ruddy. He's the man. He's the God man. He's goodly to look at. Look unto him and be saved. He's a skilled musician. He knows how to speak a word in season to troubled hearts. And when David arrived at the battlefield, he saluted his brethren, according to verse 22, and then he began to talk with them. He wanted to know what was going on, who this man was. Just as he arrived, it seems that Goliath appeared again for another day to defy the God of Israel. And David, being a teenager, was curious. He wanted to know what was going on, why no one was going out to fight this giant. And David was informed that the king had promised a reward to the man who killed Goliath. The king will enrich him and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. In other words, make him tax exempt, because the people in Israel had to pay a tax to maintain the army and everything else. So that was what the king promised, to bestow riches, to give a bride and freedom to those who belonged to the man who would kill Goliath. And God had promised Christ a bride, and that bride is his church. He has promised him riches to bestow upon his people and freedom to all who belong to him. And child of God, we're part of the bride. We're part of the body given to Christ in eternity by the Father. And the Father has promised great riches to those who believe in Christ. The riches of his grace, Paul speaks about in the book of Ephesians. And freedom, deliverance from the power and the bondage of sin. David had three brothers who were part of Saul's army, but they misunderstood David, and they criticized him. Eliab criticized him. He said, you're just wanting to see the battle here. Why don't you go away home and take care of those few sheep that you look after? He didn't understand David, you see. And when Christ came, he wasn't understood by his own people. They misunderstood him and his mission and his cause. And the brethren opposed David and they criticized him. But David responded to Eliab's criticism by declaring in verse 29, "Is there not a cause?" And when Christ came, he came as a cause to honor the Father, to defeat the enemy of souls, to deliver a people from sin, to purchase a bride, and to secure spiritual blessings and spiritual freedom for a people. That's the message of the gospel. We can see it illustrated here in the story before us from the Valley of Elah and the story of David and Goliath. The gospel's here. I'm preaching the gospel from the Valley of Elah. Christ is here. The work of the cross is here. And you will notice that Saul offered David his armor. The king said, "You're not able to go out. This man has been a man of war from his earliest days, and you're only a youth. You're only a lad. You're no match for Goliath." But the truth of the matter was, Goliath was no match for David. Goliath had an armor bearer, but David had the Lord of hosts on his side. So it wasn't a fair conflict. Goliath was doomed from the very beginning because the Lord was with David. The Lord was in David's corner fighting for him. And Saul says, "Well, why don't you put on my armor? I can't send you out to the battlefield the way you are in a shepherd's garb. Put on my armor. Take my sword. Take my helmet." And there David stood in Saul's armor, a 16, 17-year-old teenager standing and the armor of this massive bulk of a man. Saul's armor didn't fit. And David says, "I haven't proved these things." And he took it off and he set them all to the side. David was not going to use human means or human methods to take on Goliath. He was not going to use human means to defeat the enemy. He therefore rejected man's help. And when Christ went to the cross, he was not going to use human methods or means to defeat the devil. He was going in the strength of God Almighty. God's work must be done God's way. And we must continue to do that in this congregation. God's work must be done God's way. We cannot use human means to accomplish the purposes of God. And David said, "The Lord will be with me." And child of God, let's not use human means or methods. Let's trust in the power of God. And when we depend upon God, we get what God can give. When we depend upon man, we get what man can do, and man can do nothing. Let us trust in the everlasting God and depend upon him. So David rejected man's help, and David armed himself with unconventional weapons. Not the kind of weapons that one would use in such an engagement. He selected a staff and stones and the sling. He had the staff in one hand, he had the sling in the other hand, and he had five smooth stones in a shepherd's bag. Now, why five stones? Well, five in the Bible is a number of grace. Why did he only use one stone? Well, commentators have different views about this. Some hold that Goliath had four other brothers or relatives, and that there were five stones to deal with the whole family, but David only needed one. I don't know if that was the case or not, but I do know that later on, all the relatives of Goliath were put to death by David's men. One preacher has suggested something different. The five aspects of salvation that are brought to attention in Romans 8 verse 30. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate, them he also called, them he also justified, and them he also glorified. That speaks of the eternal purpose of God in Christ. And that's how God saves the people, as the outworking of his eternal purpose is made to bear upon sinners through the grace of God. They are brought to that place where they need to depend upon grace and grace alone to save their souls and to find acceptance in the sight of God. So David was suited for the battlefield. He was a man set apart by God. He had a heartbeat for God. He was a man who had a cause. He was a man who showed great courage in the past when he fought the lion and the bear. He demonstrated that confidence and that courage in the past. He was the ideal man to go forth to meet Goliath. This young man went out with unconventional means to take on this man who may have been 10 feet tall. He had an armor bearer carrying a shield before him. There was only one place left uncovered. Who can do any harm there? This man's invincible. This man cannot be taken down. Victory is assured for the Philistines until the one who was suited for the battle stepped out to face Goliath in the Valley of Elah that memorable day, carrying with him a staff in one hand, a sling in the other hand, 5 smooth stones in the shepherd's bag. So David was sent to the battlefield. David was suited for the battlefield. And David was successful on the battlefield. I read there in verse 49, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee," unbelievable, "and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air." That's what Goliath said he would do to David. The Lord laughed at Goliath. He laughed at Goliath. "Who do you think you are?" And this teenager stood before him and he said, "This is what I'm going to do to you this day." And David put his hand into the bag and he took out one of those smooth stones and he put it into a sling. And we can see him there. The Philistines are all laughing. What does he think he's going to accomplish out there? Saul and the rest of the forces of Israel, they're watching from a distance. There it goes. And David keeps running on. And all of a sudden, that man who stood 10 feet tall began to shake. And the next thing he's down on his knees. And the next thing he's down on his face. In the Valley of Elah, the great champion has been defeated. The teenage boy who was ruddy, who had a goodly countenance, the shepherd boy, the beloved son, has triumphed over the great Goliath. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, verse 50. It just took one blow to fell Goliath. It just took one blow for Christ to defeat the devil. As David slew Goliath, he slew Goliath with his own sword. And Christ conquered death by his own death and slew him who had the power of death. Christ has triumphed over the whole kingdom of darkness. And like David, he did it with an unlikely instrument, a Roman cross, an old rugged cross. Who would have thought that a Jewish rabbi dying in such agony and shame could have delivered a crushing blow to Satan and his forces? But that's exactly what happened at the cross. David went forth to fight as Christ went to the cross in the presence of those who doubtless thought they would never see him return again. Can you see all of the Israelites behind David? They're shaking their head. David will never return victorious. He's going to be slaughtered in the battlefield. So David went forth from the midst of those who thought to themselves, "We'll never see David alive again." But after the triumph, after the victory, David returned. He returned from the battlefield, triumphant over the foe. Now, according to Spurgeon, Goliath is called in Hebrew not champion, as we read in the English version of the scriptures, but the middleman or the mediator. So we have the Philistines on one side and the Israelites on the other side. And Goliath says, "I will represent the Philistines. I stand as the middleman. Instead of all the ranks and file coming out personally to fight, I appear as a representative of my nation. I will appear as the mediator. Choose you a mediator and let him come to me and contend with me." Instead of engaging the two armies in the battle, let two representatives decide the outcome of the battle. And that's exactly what happened at the cross. Christ fought the battle for his people. We're going back to two men again, Adam and Christ. God deals with you and Adam as a rebel, as guilty, as condemned, or he deals with you in Christ as justified and pardoned and forgiven and righteous in the sight of God. Christ is the middleman. He's the mediator. He's the one appointed by God as the mediator. And thank God, when he went to the cross, he accomplished the purpose of God in redeeming a people. And so when he steps out there to the battlefield, stepping forth into the arena which divides the camp of good and evil, God and the devil, facing this defiant adversary. He stands to contend on our behalf, that he may decide for us a battle that could never have been decided by us. But his one single arm is enough to win the victory for us and forever to end the conflict between heaven and hell. So here he is. He's impaled on the cross. He is suffering the way no man ever had to suffer before or every man has suffered since. He's the mediator of the covenant. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one sent forth by God to accomplish redemption for his people. And in agonies and blood on the cross, he's suffering. And as he comes to the end with one triumphant voice, he cries out, "It is finished. The devil has been defeated. Goliath has been destroyed. I've accomplished for my people the work of redemption. It's done. It's complete. I have felled the enemy." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And there on the battlefield lay the devil, having been slain by the power of Christ. And Christ has gotten the victory for all of his redeemed people. David defeated Goliath, and Christ defeated the devil. David won for the children of Israel victory, and Christ has won victory for his people. And then, when you come to the end of the chapter, once the victory had been gained, the men of Israel and the men of Judah rose up and they began to pursue the Philistines. Well, the Philistines didn't keep their part of the bargain. Goliath said, "If you triumph over me, then we will be your servants." They didn't keep their part of the bargain. They turned on their heel and they ran. And the people of God, following on in the train of David's victory, pursued them. And they took the spoils of war. And we share the spoils of Christ's victory. Never has there been a more decisive victory for the armies of Israel than what took place that day. And it was all of grace. And the greatest battle ever fought was fought at the cross. And the greatest victory ever won was won at the cross. And the greatest person to have ever lived and died is alive today, and his name is Jesus. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And he has power to deliver, he has power to save, he has power to liberate souls. His power to give you victory over your giants. And then when it was all over, David returned, and Abner brought him into the presence of Saul. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. So David went out with 5 stones. He used 1 in the battle. And when he holds up the head of Goliath in the presence of the king, he still had 5 stones. 1 had penetrated through the skull of Goliath. 1 had lodged itself deep into the brain of this great giant. And there David holds up the head of Goliath as proof of his victory. And when Christ finished the work the Father gave him to do, what did he do? He arose, he ascended into the presence of the great King of Glory. And he presented before the King of Glory his precious blood as proof that he had fought the battle and won the victory for his people. And God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When David held up the head of Goliath, that was proof that the enemy had been defeated. And David had the right to a bride. That David had a right to the riches promised by the king. And that David's household and his father's house were entitled to be free men in Israel. Because of what the Son had accomplished. Because of what the beloved Son had secured. Christ is here. The gospel's here. The message of salvation is here. All of the glory of the King of Kings is here. The divine purpose of God is revealed here. And my Savior is revealed here. The one who loved me so much that he took my place. He represented me on the cross. And when the nails pierced his hand and the nails pierced his feet, he was paying my ransom price, and my sins were nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more, because a lamb stood in for me, and his name is Jesus. Look to him today. Look to the Lamb of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you turn him away? Think of what David did for Israel. Think about what Christ has done for sinners. Put yourself into the arena. Put yourself into the picture. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts this day. So when you read the story next time, you're reading about the gospel from the valley of Elah. David was sent to the battlefield. David was suited for the battlefield. And David succeeded on the battlefield. And David's Lord is alive today, and he is part of safe. May God bless you this day for Christ's sake.